from Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, December 17th, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we score ourselves on how we did with last year's predictions in the geospatial marketplace for 2013. Then we step up to the plate and make predictions for 2014. Stay tuned to find out if we are heroes or bums. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Natural disasters can deliver sweeping impacts to life and property. Be ready before and after disaster strikes. Harness the raging data torrent across all phases of disaster management. Intergraph's geospatial solutions will help you before the first raindrop falls. See more details at intergraph.com/disaster-management today.
Now, I'm going to start off by scoring my predictions from December 2012 that I made for this year, 2013. Now, my first prediction was that tablets would still not play a big role in mobile GIS. And I argued that broader tech and marketplace issues would keep mobile GIS to basically lightweight data collection and viewing. And I think I scored a hit with this one. While we've been seeing announcements about GIS for iPad since about mid-2010, there were no significant applications or discussions of higher-end analysis within 2013. In fact, just to highlight it, at InterGeo in September, this was one of the press releases. It was from a company that announced that it would release GIS to Go, which transfers maps from ArcGIS desktop to an iPad or Android tablet. With the associated apps, users can access their own maps entirely without a network connection while they are on the road. So that's the state of the art. My second prediction was that crowdfunding would come to geospatial in 2013. And I argued that we'd move beyond sort of the small hobbyist and sort of really small company kinds of funding goals to do real geospatial kinds of things, products and services in 2013. And looking back, I think that was a miss. I can't really point to any crowdfunded effort that I really think was the big leagues. And I think that's in part because crowdfunding has sort of shifted from being a tool to raise money to being a marketing opportunity. So maybe the whole crowdfunding thing has shifted, but I did not get a hit on that one. And my final prediction was that one of the geospatial professional organizations would shut down or merge in 2013. And that was also a miss. ERISA and GITA and MAPS and ASPRS are still alive and well. I even heard news from COGO, the Coalition of Geospatial Organizations, in 2013. So they're all alive and well, even if some of them are not communicating their aliveness as well as they might. And I'm talking to you, GITA. On the other hand, I did miss something that shut down that I didn't predict would, and that's GeoWorld Magazine.
Any follow-ups to any of those, Adina, any future predictions on any of those particular topics?
Well, yeah, I would go back to tablets and mobile computing not yet having heavy-duty use. And I think that's going to hopefully change a little bit. ArcGIS Online now has geoprocessing, and that would make the use of that kind of analysis done in the cloud much more accessible. So that's sort of the bright light for that for 2014.
All right. Well, I'll tell you my hits and misses, and actually I thought I had a pretty decent year. For 2013, I predicted that more BI companies would finally get it, that is, to understand the benefits of location technology, and in addition, dashboards were to move out of the office and onto a tablet, sort of in line with your predictions, Adina. I thought I had a hit here. SAP spatially enabled HANA. Their database. Oracle at the LI conference exposed BI applications with Oracle Map Viewer. I think you could probably say that Google continued to introduce more mapping tools for business applications with Google Map Engine Pro. Not that Google is a BI company, but I still think that they're going to move into this space pretty soon. And that, although that's not a prediction for this year, I've been saying that all year. Esri made a significant investment in what they call location analytics. Again, since Esri is not a BI company, I felt like they are leading a lot of this move from GIS to BI in reverse. And I think they're going to catch a lot of attention from the BI companies because of this use of the term analytics. That's just what all the BI companies are doing. And then in the acquisition space, you saw some small LI companies being acquired. TIBCO Software acquired Mapperama, CoreLogic acquired CDS Business Mapping, and Environics Analytics acquired Generation 5. So I think it was a hit on that one. In the category of LBS, I said that Apple had to acquire more mapping technology and suggested that TomTom was a likely acquisition. I also believe that with acquisition, they had to come closer to competing with Google. And I also predicted that indoor location technology would go mainstream and mentioned technology from Mile 411, AeroScout, Point Inside. And that I also said that you would see apps for routing yourself indoors in malls and that retailers would become would begin to engage more with their clients using big data analytics and that social mobile local or social local mobile, Solomo, would help in this. I said this was a hit because I believe that Apple, in acquiring Wi-Fi Slam and the introduction of iBeacons, I mean, I think they made the move, which is what I predicted they would do. They had to get more into using some mapping technology and that this is part of the indoor location system. But that's not the only indication here. Aruba Networks acquired Meridian, another indoor LBS company. Qualcomm introduced just last week Gimbal. You had a GIS company in the summertime, GISI, introduced an application called Geometry, their indoor application. And then Retail Next announced the acquisition of Nearby Systems, a leading location-based Wi-Fi analytic solution provider, and True Position, which offers cell tower location, acquired the intellectual property of Rosen. All basically in the indoor space. To me, this was a hit.
I will give you that all of those things happen, but those still are very preparatory for actual widespread use. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's right. They're preparatory, but this was the year in which they happened.
Yes, this was the year of the preparation.
Okay.
I'm being clear about this because of one of my predictions, and I will highlight that you did say that Apple was going to acquire TomTom, and it didn't.
Yeah, that's true. No, that was a quasi-miss. But what I also said was they had to acquire some company to get into more of the – they had to do something with their mapping technology. And they went indoor. They didn't necessarily go outdoor. The last prediction was on BIM and that it would gain significant traction in being identified as a requirement in RFPs. I still think this was a hit as well because – in many respects, if you go to the companies that are talking about BIM, Autodesk and Bentley, to them, it's synonymous with 3D. They've kind of replaced the term 3D with BIM. And in the CAD world, that just seems to be growing. You do see it in RFPs. And you see it again in the recent conferences from Bentley and Autodesk. That's all they're talking about is BIM. I'd still give myself a hit there.
Okay, so that wraps up 2013. Now let's move ahead to 2014. And Joe, let's start with your first prediction for 2014.
Privacy and legal ramifications of the impending advances in indoor positioning and unmanned aerial systems will be raised again. I think we kind of had a lull in the privacy discussion, but I think these two technologies have once again raised the awareness of location-based services and the implications for an invasion of personal privacy. For indoor positioning, apps will become more passive with less invasive check-ins or the necessity to download an app and will engage with our mobile devices even more to solicit retail services. The announcement that the Amazon drone, while certainly a ways off, I think just poured white gas on the flames of privacy advocates. So, you know, Jeff Bezos opened a Pandora's box, but also fueled imaginations. To me, Bezos really has become the new Steve Jobs in terms of the tech innovator.
How are we going to measure whether or not you got that right or not? Do you have a rubric for that?
I would say we're going to see more articles in the mainstream press on privacy, specifically around those two technology innovations.
So 2013, you would argue, was kind of a down year, and I would agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Okay, my first prediction for 2014 has to do with remote sensing, and it has to do with what I'm referring to as the gazelles of remote sensing, three, and there may be other small startups moving into the remote sensing space. Planet Labs, Earthcast, and Skybox Imaging are all looking at cost-effective, timely, high-quality, processed imagery, sort of a new model for collection, processing, and delivery. And I think they're going to become the darlings in 2014. And the way I'm going to measure that is that one of them, I can't tell you which one, will announce deals with three different well-known governments or private organizations within 2014. That's how we're going to measure their success for this one.
Okay. I'll give you actually my third, because my third prediction, because that's in line somewhat with yours. I believe that there's going to be a sensor nexus. In the way I define that is a collision of location-based sensors in the context of things that we had recently talked about with the Internet of Things that learn how to communicate autonomously. So we understand that mobile devices already have GPS, a gyroscope, actuators, now iBeacons and iPhones. In location technology, I think we'll begin to understand this sensor networks. How will innovators utilize the multitude of sensors to work autonomously? So the way I would measure that is I think we're going to see apps that utilize multiple sensors. And it will be, I think, in indoor technology. We've seen an announcement recently with indoor.rs using one of the ARM chip designs for extending LBS performance. But the other thing in the sensor nexus I wanted to mention has to do with your gazelles. Since we will see this plethora of small sats launched, I see that we're going to take a little bit of a step forward in hyperspectral image analysis. Yes, I do.
Can't put that one away, can we?
No, I can't. But the way I'm coming about this is the big data of remote sensing, is hyperspectral analysis. And I think we talk a lot about change detection. We just don't know how to analyze it very well. So I think we're going to need high spectral resolution bands to truly determine what Earth changes are man-made and which are naturally occurring.
You're a brave man, Joe.
As I usually am.
Okay, and I will add one point to your discussion about the Internet of Things and the multiplicity of sensors. And I suspect you're right. And this is already beginning to happen. The big book for me in 2013 was The Age of Context, which really was about how we merge the sensors and the mobile and the social, more from sort of an individual level rather than a societal one, but we're clearly heading in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to jump to my third prediction because it goes back to your discussion of indoor. And I think that as you agreed with me that 2013 was the preparation for indoor positioning going mainstream, I think 2014 is the year when indoor positioning will be compelling and useful enough for people to actually use it, right? We've got the venues mapped. We've got the sensors. People have got the devices in hand, and now is the time. And I just want to say that I'm considering this not just in the retail, getting people to buy stuff in the brick-and-mortar stores, but in a broader sense. And the way I want to measure this is that someone you or I know will actually talk to us about using this kind of technology, not somebody in the industry. So mm-hmm. That's going to be the measure. So keep your ears open in 2014 for someone saying, hey, I used that iBeacon thing in Macy's doing my Christmas shopping, and it was either awesome or not so awesome.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, indoor is the new frontier. What can you say?
But it's really ripe. It's ripe now.
Yeah. That's right. My third prediction is what we're going to see in what I would call visualization and immersive dashboards. What's really the hard part of digesting big data? It's not processing, right? The technology is there to process big data. It's not data capture. You know, every time we use a mobile device, we're giving data to somebody, Twitter, Facebook, Amazon. I think visualization alternatives will arise to help decipher big data. And this is, let me give you an example. Okay, so word clouds, right? Word cloud graphics have helped us to visualize important things about topics, just as thematic mapping and graduated symbology did for desktop mapping. So I predict we will see better visualization tools, you know, beyond word clouds, beyond infographics, to a new type of dashboard, more immersive, more use of touch, more interactive in order to be able to play with variables. Drop-down boxes were so 1990. Slider bars were so 2000. So I want to see what's next in visualization. How will location-based technology assume a more dominant role in visualizing big data? So look to companies that will introduce a new type of immersive technology. I look at a company called Oblong, is starting in this area. Oblong.com is where you can find them. Certainly Google has done it with some of their large screen immersive displays, but I think you're going to see a different way of visualizing big data in an immersive way.
Okay, you said the word immersive about seven times. Can you give me a better sense of what you mean by that?
Yeah, I think it can be anything from an interactive screen setting. It could be something you're going to be seeing maybe more in an enterprise setting where people step into a room, a war room, if you will, with a much bigger, a much more screens, more touch, more almost kinetic interaction with data. So you saw it in the gaming space, you know, with Wii and Microsoft's gaming devices. I think you're going to see that in the enterprise.
Okay, well, that's that sure sounds fun to play with.
Yeah, I hope it is.
Okay, my last prediction has to do with coming back to geofencing. It has to do with a programming environment called IFTTT, if this, then that. If this, then that is going to become the new hot location-based programming solution. Why? Because just in the past week, if this, then that has added basically a location feature. And what that means is that you can write what's called a recipe that says, if something happens in a particular location, then cause something else to happen. That is going to bring this concept of geofencing into the hands of virtually everybody, because this programming environment is for everyone. It's for us regular people. It's not for programmers. And this is really, I think, the first time that we've had that kind of power, such that we can do things like, when I get within a mile of my house, have my phone ring and remind me to get milk or something to that effect. So now we've got that power and we've got this environment to do it. And I think that's going to re-energize this whole idea of location and automating our lives through the Internet of Things.
That's very funny that you mentioned that, because one of the things I had said in my second one, which I've written up, is that we'll automatically engage a sensor as we become proximal to an activity. And I think that's what you're getting at, right?
Is that, yes, but this is the platform that's going to allow you, a non-programmer, to set this thing up.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I really like that. Yeah.
The other side to this, last week was Computer Science Education Week. I'm not sure how many people knew about that, but it was. And there was this concept of the hour of code, where hopefully people were going to spend an hour and just get introduced to some of the ideas of code and so forth. If this, then that, that is the platform to introduce people to code, and it's a neat way to introduce them to the power of location connected to their code. So educators, listen up. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Integraph, invites you to close your eyes and imagine fusing high-volume, rapidly emerging data sources and outputting actionable information. With Integraph's geospatial natural disaster management solution, keep your citizens safe and structures secure before and after a catastrophic event. Visit integraph.com/disaster-management today.
And from us here at Directions Magazine, if you're interested in participating, whether by speaking or exhibiting at Location Intelligence 2014, please visit www.locationintelligence.net.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is posted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us. Have a happy new year, and be sure to tell a friend.